for joining us. Please join us in the pledge. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please let the record reflect that all board members are present, along with Superintendent Ginsler, Melissa Wyatt, who is taking minutes, and Chad, who is our tech guru for the evening. And we will get started first with our agenda item, which is our return to school recommendation. And I will turn it over to our superintendent.
Okay, so as you know, we were here Tuesday night and we talked about what my recommendation was. And since we had that meeting specifically to give people the opportunity to get some input, and I've received some of that, so I want to share that first and then go from there. So Chad, if you could put up my... All right, so the way my plan is to go through all of the questions that we received either Tuesday night or that I've received or the principals have received, okay? It's gonna take a little bit of time, but not a lot of time, okay? So first of all, and I have them categorized by what the question was about. So the first, and they're not in any order of the way I received them, they're just how I put them up here on the paper. So purple tier movement, I received a question that says, if we adopt this recommendation and we go back into purple, which by the way, we're still in purple, we're supposed to go out of purple by the end of the month, but we're still in purple. But if we go back into purple tier, do we have to go back to a hybrid or a distance learning? The answer is no. Schools that have reopened are not required to close if the county moves back to the purple tier. And if we made it to the orange tier, we were able to open up more and we went back to the red tier, same thing, you don't have to go backwards. Since we opened officially in October when we were in red, we will no longer be required to close if we go back to a higher tier. And this is according to the current guidance, and I say that according to the current guidance because if we have an unfortunate resurgence of COVID, they might change the guidance. So I'm giving you that as an understanding that the guidance currently says we would stay where we are even if we go back to purple. Even if we went back up to that 25 per 100,000, which we're not even anywhere close to that. So, so schools that are not fully open in red, and if they went to purple, then they would have to stop opening the classes that they have not opened. But they would not have to shut down any of the ones that they did open. For us, even though our students are on hybrid currently, that is considered open. And so since all of our classes are open, we would have no threat to go backwards at all if Yuba County goes back into the purple. Question number two, this one, can you scroll up, Chad? Thank you. So can students wear bandanas and or gaiters? So this is a very interesting question that came at the last meeting and required a lot of research to figure out what's the difference.
Can I ask you a really stupid question?
Sure.
And maybe it's just, I'm more old. What's a gaiter?
A gaiter is the ones they wear around their necks that are kind of like a scarf and then they pull them up.
Okay.
And it's very popular with like construction workers and things like that. And it goes around this way.
Okay. Fishermen.
Okay. So the research I found is that the term face covering and the term mask is used interchangeably in all of the guidance. Except for the CDC, they just use the word mask. CDPH uses the word face covering. What I found is that, what is a cloth face covering? It is any material that covers your nose and mouth that can be secured to your head with ties or straps or simply wrapped around your lower face. It can be made of a variety of materials, such as cotton, silk, linen, and a cloth face covering may be factory made or may be sewed by hand and can be improvised even from household items such as scarves, t-shirts, sweatshirts, towels. It is not appropriate to pull the sweatshirt up over your face, right? They're not saying that's okay, but you can make a face covering by cutting up a sweatshirt and having it tied around. How should I choose to wear? Okay, really, no matter what you're wearing, you have to select the face covering that covers your nose and your mouth and goes under your chin. It does not have significant gaps around the nose or other parts of the face. You look for a face covering that has three layers. Okay, again, that's new, right? Because they want you to wear two masks right now. Three layers if possible, and are easy to breathe through. So that's kind of a contradiction. If it has three layers, it's usually
two masks right now?
That's what they're saying. To be safe right now, people should be wearing two masks. That's not a recommendation for schools.
Perfect.
Okay, not. And then it says, be sure that the inner loops or ties are tight enough around your face to keep it sliding down from your nose. Always wear your face covering over your nose and mouth. So what's the difference between a face covering and a face mask? The true difference is a face covering simply refers to any type of fabric or material to cover your face. Whereas by definition, a face mask is typically a professionally manufactured, such as the ones used in healthcare. That we don't require that of students. They have to cover their face with a face covering or a face mask, interchangeable again. But the manufactured in healthcare, we can't even get those because they're all going to healthcare. The government's advice reads, a cloth face covering should cover your mouth and nose while allowing you to breathe comfortably. So can you scroll up? Good. That's good. So throughout the CDC guidance, and when they use the term mask, it appears to be interchangeable with face covering, as there is no significant or no requirement for a professionally manufactured mask. The CDPH uses the term face covering even in their newest guidance. So yes, students can wear a bandana or a gaiter as long as it covers their nose and covers their mouth, okay? Breakfast, can they eat in the rooms and at their desks, even if they are not 6 feet apart? And the simple answer is yes, they can, because it's the district's call. There's no mandate anymore in the guidance. They are all recommendations. Four districts in San Diego sued the state of California and Governor Newsom regarding social distancing at schools. They won just recently. So that's part of the reason, because the judge said the state does not have the authority to tell schools how far kids need to be away from each other. So the CDC and the CDPH came out with a 3 foot, but if you look at it, it's a recommendation still. The 6 feet is also a recommendation. So throughout most of the documents, many seem to read 6 feet is recommended as much as possible and practical in cafeterias and group dining. There is no specific language about eating in the classroom other than they say, we recommend that you eat in the classroom and not in a cafeteria or a dining hall. The guidance also says, ideally we would attempt to serve meals outdoors and in cohort classrooms instead of cafeterias and group dining rooms where practicable. Where cafeterias and group dining rooms are used, keep students in their stable groups, ensure 6 feet of physical distance as much as possible, hand hygiene before and after eating, et cetera, et cetera. If indoor meal times are paired with recess and outdoor time, consider having a stable group of students eat while the other half is outdoors and then switch. So let's say you're a kindergarten classroom and you have 20 kids in there. You send 10 of them out to play, obviously with supervision. You'd have to work out the supervision piece, and you keep 10 of them in every other chair. So now they're 6 feet apart. And then 10 minutes later, you send all of them out and you bring all the other ones in to eat. You have to serve individually plated or bag meals, avoid sharing of foods or utensils, and no buffet or family style meals. I went further and reached out to the school districts that are somewhat local. Plumas Lake, Rockland, Roseville School District are all feeding their students in the classroom, and some are feeding them in the cafeteria, and none of them are adhering to the 6 feet rule because you can't. So we're not going to be the outlier out there going, we're the only ones doing it. It is being done elsewhere. So the answer is, the key to the language, in my opinion, and others that have read it, and I was on three meetings this week that we talked all about this. One of them was San Diego, and I'll tell you that in a minute, is that because it's not a mandate and it says whenever possible or practical, we can allow our students to eat breakfast and snack in the classroom at their desks, or outside, or a combination of both. What I would say is each school site is going to have to work on this with their teachers, staff, etc., to come up with a plan that ensures that we do the best possible thing we can to feed these kids. What is not an option is not feeding them. It's not an option. So we will, each of the principals will work with their staffs and come up with a plan, because at every site it's going to be different. The other piece of it is that if weather permits, they can eat their snack outside. There's no reason they can't do that. And that was what my conversation with one of the superintendents that was in the lawsuit down in San Diego. They have had their kids back full time since September. And the only thing they do not do is feed children inside. And I said, well, how do you get away with that? He said, Craig, it's San Diego, right? 98% of the time our kids are wearing shorts and outside. It doesn't get 110 and it doesn't get down to 30. So they have a different system.
My only concern with that is teachers thinking it's a good weather day and they put them in the hallway where kids are walking and people are walking, and the germs of that, I would hope they would put them somewhere. You know, I don't want kids on the ground trying to eat their cereal when there's all those. I would rather see them do the half and half thing, yeah. Because no teacher's going to want to sit in that hallway and eat their lunch with, you know, dirty feet, no matter, you don't know what they've walked through, that kind of stuff, you know, is my only concern. That seems to me more germy than actually eating 3 feet apart.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't believe that we have any teachers that would probably do that. I mean, they may tell the kids to eat outside and then the kid chooses to do that, but I don't think they're gonna say, everybody put your food on the ground and pick it up.
Well, if they're the grass, I get that. That's a lot. I just don't, you know, people on cement do things that aren't the most cleanly. And so that, I think I would rather, if I had a child, be 3 feet apart eating at a desk than on the ground.
And let's not forget that we are well within 3 feet when we're on the bus.
Absolutely.
The only difference is they're taking their mask down to eat.
Yes. Okay.
So the next question came about breakfast. Can we do something more than just cereal like we're doing right now that goes home? So yes, we will be providing a different and more substantial breakfast. The McWheatland is very popular with our kids. You know what that is, right? They make it like a whatever that is.
Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin, thank you. Eggo waffles, muffins, cinnamon rolls, breakfast burritos, buttermilk bars are just a few of the things that will be served. So yes, it will be a more substantial, and it won't just be cereal, but it will have milk because milk is one of the components. Can we get a more substantial snack than the Teddy Grahams and the Goldfish, et cetera? Yes. In fact, today we ordered 240 cases of a Lunchable style snack that we used in the summer or last year. And some of you that were involved in that remember them there. And they have crackers and meat and cheese, or they're a pizza one. So yes, we have those coming. And that's what will be provided.
And they're way better than the Lunchables that you can buy in the store. There's a lot, they're a lot more substantial than the like Oscar Mayer or whatever brand that is. So I think they were really good Lunchables from personal experience. And I am so happy to hear that kids are going to get protein at that time, even though the waffle crackers are amazing. They need something more substantial. So thank you for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, so the other thing I want to say is the question came up about can they bring their own snack? Because Johnny might be okay with having some goldfish, but Jack needs a sandwich. And so the answer is absolutely yes, they can bring their own snacks. What they can't do is share those. That's really the only, so parents that want to provide specific food for their children, and we're not saying that you have to provide X, Y, and Z. We're not saying you can't provide this or you can't provide that. It's your choice as a parent what you're feeding your child, right? All we're saying is when you get here, please make sure the children know not to share the meal. And same thing with whatever they get from the cafeteria. Don't share it. That's the issues, okay? Scrolling on up. So as a follow-up to the differential in time that was brought up, I don't remember where, to be honest with you, brought up between their recess snack break and the end of the school day. I really don't think the difference is as significant as people might be thinking it is, because it's very similar to the amount of time that they had when they were in a regular school program. They might have gone to lunch at 11 and they get out at 2:15. It's the same basic same amount of time. However, I do believe that our teachers know that when the students, they know their class and they know if they're what age they are or whatever, if they get hungry in the afternoon, have some of those snacks available. We'll get them for anybody, and they can just hand them a snack while they're teaching social science, and the kid can eat the, you know, maybe that's the time for the Teddy Grahams or whatever.
Waffle, sorry.
So yes, and that will be based on the needs of the class and based on what the teacher decides is important for their hunger level. So moving on to lunchtime. So one of the questions that came in, why can't we extend the day till 2:10 and feed them lunch at school? And the simple answer, and I answered this on Tuesday, but I'll answer it again. We don't have the supervision to cover the classrooms to have all of them at lunch. And we don't have, we can't use the cafeteria. And then we would have a significant issue with transportation because they would be getting out at 2:10 and the 6th or 8th would be getting out at 3 o'clock. And there's no way to make that. It's hard enough in an hour. Bottom line is that in the model in which we put forward on Tuesday, which you'll see again here in a minute, it allows for the same number of instructional minutes that we've had in the past, because lunch is not an instructional minute. So if you extend your day by 40 minutes and then you give them a 40-minute lunch, you've accomplished nothing except keeping them a little bit later. Question was, do the shields have to go back up now because we will be 3 feet apart? And the answer is no, they do not. However, it could be a useful tool while they're eating, right? So you could put them up while they eat 3 feet apart and take them back down. Are we mandating that? We are not. But is it a solution to some people that are worried about the 3 feet? It certainly is, because it's a barrier between the two students. But no, shields are not required. Moving up, please.
Now, our preschool, they have snacks every day, correct?
Correct.
And they're eating together, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. social distancing. So I was asked the question on Tuesday, I think it was by Ms. Morris, about if they're 3 feet apart and somebody gets sick, nobody else has to be quarantined. And my initial response was, yes, that's my understanding. I've since read more, asked some questions, and the answer is currently the infectious rate stayed at 6 feet, but the rate for, or the number of feet for school is at 3 feet. They are working to change that because, you know, it's two different people or two different groups making these rules. So they're working on changing it to 3 feet. Until they do that, if we had a child who came in to school and was infected with COVID, it could potentially quarantine two or three, maybe four kids, one on each side, one on the front and one on the back, because they would be within that 6 foot. It's very unlikely that any of those four kids would get sick, but until they change the 6 foot rule for infectious distance, then we potentially could have to quarantine a number of kids. I will tell you again, since March, was it March of last year? It's been over a year now. We have had kids go out for COVID. We have had very few come to school and then go out with COVID because they didn't know. We've had no kids infected by another kid with COVID in our school district. We have had to quarantine two, maybe four kids that were next to somebody who was there on their on a day that they were infectious, and they were within 6 feet of them, so they had to be quarantined. None of those kids that we quarantined got COVID.
Were any of those kids TK through fifth grade?
None of the ones that were quarantined that I'm aware of off the top of my head, and I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if Angela's on here or not. She might know for sure. We have had TK through fifth grade children that have gotten COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The number is much lower than the middle school and much lower than the high school. But again, none of them at school. They're all at family gatherings. So I wanted to clarify that question about the infectious because I think I gave what I thought was a correct answer last time, and it seems to be going to be correct, but they haven't moved in that direction. And it could get moved tomorrow, it could get moved 3 weeks from now, or it may never get moved. But right now, if a child comes in infectious, Angela, our contract tracer, will have to do the contract tracing and see who might get quarantined. Will para educator time be increased? We are adding a half an hour per day of all of our TK through first grade paras on a timesheet so they can cover the snack break and have their break and still service the students for the 3 hours in which they're contracted for. There may be other classified positions that we may also temporarily increase to cover supervision or other needs, and all of it will be put on a timesheet because it's a temporary change. And I want to make that clear, temporary, okay? But we are happy to pay the extra amount of money on a timesheet for those employees to make sure that we have the best coverage we can for not only supervision, but in the classroom. If you can scroll up, please. Parent volunteers, can parents volunteer? The answer is still no, not yet. We have to keep our classes stable, and having volunteers coming in would not keep the classroom stable, especially if they were going from one class to another helping. So no volunteers currently. Furniture, what about the double desks, etc.? Will we replace them? The answer is, I'm going to work with each school site on the needs for furniture. Getting desks ordered and here quickly is going to be an issue. However, we do have 40 to 50 single desks in storage at Far West that we could bring in if we found it to be a problem. If a teacher has an issue with their furniture, please talk to your site administrator. Scrolling on up. Special ed, will special ed and speech happen during the instructional day, or will it be a pull out or push in service? Special ed and speech will happen during the instructional day. The services of whether it's a pull out or push in or how long, that's all determined in their IEP. So they will follow the IEP. Special ed teachers will be working to reschedule kids that may have come in their off time, et cetera, et cetera. But they will have it during their regular time. Again, a question came up again about hours. Why can't the hours go till 2:15? I've answered that already, but for those who came on later, I'll answer it again. We cannot eat in the cafeterias. We don't have enough supervision to eat in the rooms all at the same time. Adding lunchtime to the day doesn't add any instruction. It just adds lunchtime. It adds time. So at the end of the day, students will receive a grab-and-go lunch, and they can take it home and eat it. That's the plan, to really try and minimize any potential for continued COVID issues. Next school year, is there a plan to keep the schedule the same next school year? And the answer is no. We are hoping for and planning for a return to normal hours across all grade levels in the fall. Of course, all of this depends on what happens with COVID. The schedule we are proposing for full instruction in minutes minus the lunch period will get students back full time. They're going to get 5 hours of instruction, TK through five. Our sixth through eighth grade is already getting 6 hours of instruction, 3 on site and 3 through distance learning. Why can't they return to the same schedule as, like, this is sixth through eighth grade, why can't they return to the same schedule as TK through five? I went through this in depth on Tuesday, but the simple answer is a TK through five classroom is a self-contained, so a stable cohort classroom. Same kids, same teacher, all day. Sixth through eighth grade, kids move, 6 different classrooms, non-stable cohort. A non-stable cohort is recommended to be at 6 feet, not 3 feet. A stable cohort, I just said that. So moving on, sixth through eighth grade also, people don't understand how difficult scheduling is. And scheduling in a pandemic is crazy, right? Because you're trying to keep your numbers low. So the only way that Bear River could keep their numbers low to have in-class instruction for 3 periods a day and then 3 periods a day of distance learning is to keep your in-class scheduled kids at a low number, which means you have to ramp up the numbers in your distance learning. So for example, we have at least 3 classes that are above 60 in PE. That's fine because they're on Zoom and they're doing whatever Mr. White assigns them, and then they're turning in their work or turning in their journals, however he's doing it, but it's okay because they're not in the same room. If we bring them all back, we cannot have 60 kids in PE. So then we have to reschedule every child at Bear River, sixth through eighth grade. What that will do is it will change, not all, but some of the kids will not have the same teachers, will not be in the same rooms as the kids they've been in rooms with, and they may or may not have a choice of their elective. And again, they'd still be a non-stable cohort. So the numbers don't work. I saw somebody post, well, why don't you keep them in the home room and let the teachers move? So the problem with that is that becomes a stable cohort until the teacher moves. Now teacher A goes to teacher B, and teacher B goes to, now it's an unstable cohort. The other problem with that is you would have to, again, reschedule all the kids based on something. You could base it on their elective. So then their elective, they pick their elective, and so these kids are all art, these kids are all woodshop, these kids are all ag, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when that goes into their core classes, those kids may not or shouldn't necessarily be in the same class together. So then you could do it academically and say, these are the kids that we need in these classes, and then their elective is no longer their choice. It's whatever goes with that. So it's just different rules for middle school and high school than they have for TK through five right now. This question, I wish our sixth through eighth grade would follow the high school schedule. On campus 2 days and at home 3 full days. Why can't this happen? So the simple answer is we currently provide 25 hours of instruction to our sixth through eighth grade students by having 6 classes, 4 days a week, and an hour Zoom 1 day a week. The high school students get 12 hours of instruction a week. So if we were to move our sixth through eighth grade to a night to the same schedule that they have at the high school, we would literally cut our instruction in half. I would never recommend that to you, ever, because our sixth through eighth grade students are doing as well as they can under the current system. Cutting them down to coming to school 2 days a week and having 3 days a week of nothing, that, you know, I mean, that's just, to me, it's not something we should be doing or even considering for our sixth through eighth grade. And the other thing people know that, not everybody knows this, but the high school is a different district from us. They make their choices based on what they think is best for their students. We make our choices. We have a much larger range of ages than a high school has. And our students at the lower end do not thrive on distance learning. High school kids can do okay if they're self-motivated on distance learning. The separate schedules between TK and 6-8, why the new schedule? Because it will make, why are you doing a new schedule? Because it's gonna make me drive at least one extra time to pick up my kids, okay? The sarcastic side of me is we don't make schedules based on parents driving. We make schedules based on what's good for kids, right? But I'll reiterate, we provide transportation to any student, and we are one of the last districts that doesn't charge for transportation and is providing transportation during the pandemic. Plumas Lake provides no transportation currently.
Marysville either.
Rockland either.
Yeah.
There you go. So if you live in Wheatland and you're not within walking distance of the school, we have a bus for you. You just need to call transportation. If you're on an inter-district transfer, you knew when you signed up that driving was part of the gig, right? Of course you didn't know that it could be up to 4 times. However, if you live in Marysville or Olivehurst, you can drive to Earl Road at Stoss Dairy and jump on a bus. And we'll take you back and forth from Stoss Dairy. So we can cut your commute in half. We're not legally allowed to drive into Marysville or Plumas Lake. So we can't do anything about that. And I've already explained why sixth through eighth grade can't go on the full day schedule. So question came in about the participation engagement logs, the dreaded logs. So if we go back to a full day after the break, will teachers still need to keep doing the student participation log form? And the answer is no. In areas, elementary teachers would go back to taking their regular attendance because they are back to 5 full days. The middle school teachers will continue to do their participation logs on Aries. So it would take that away from the teachers having to do that, which is great because that can take a while for them to do that. Return date. Can you scroll up a little bit? Thank you. By the way, this is the last question, I think, that was sent. I know there'll be more. Can we have Monday the 12th as a Zoom day and start back Tuesday the 13th? Here are the reasons. Teachers need time to get their rooms ready for all children to return. There is no time to do that since we have only 1 week before we go out on spring break. So they have one Monday. Zooming with children on Monday, April 12th, will give the teachers the opportunity to explain that they are what they will be doing with eating breakfast together in the classroom, go over procedures for breakfast, snack, talk about what the new school day will look like, answer questions of parents, et cetera, et cetera. And then the teachers would like some extra time to figure out how to add back things like science and social studies that they haven't had in their schedules. And my answer to this is wait till the when I give the recommendation. So that came from a group of teachers. So, okay, so moving on up. So my recommendation would change to this extent that I understand the need for the Monday. So my recommendation would be beginning Tuesday, April 13th, instead of Monday, April 12th. We would go to 5 days a week, 7 or 8 o'clock to 1:20 for TK through five. Preschool would remain fully open just like it is. 6th through 8th grade, scroll up please, would remain on the hybrid, 3 classes on site, 3 classes distance learning. So this is the end of my presentation tonight. However, I have my presentation from Tuesday underneath this if anybody wants to see anything specific about the rationale or the schedules, what they might look like, so on and so forth.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
What needs to be done in the classrooms to get ready for students to come back, other than mentally preparing the students for the new changes?
So
I know slight changes in the curriculum and, you know, the lesson plans, that I can understand.
I will let maybe a teacher answer that for you, but I'm going to answer it first. First of all, I think it's somewhat of a mental thing that we need these 2 Mondays to get ready to give the best possible education we can to our students when they come back full time. I also think that if they don't have the Monday, then they're going to stress over their spring break about what they can and can't do, and which would cause some of them, of course, to work during their spring break. And honestly, many of them need that week. They've been going gung-ho, and some people just need that. What they would do, it's going to be individualized based on the teacher, because we're only talking TK through 5, because remember, 6 through 8 already has that Monday.
Right.
So TK through 5, they're going to have to think about how they're presenting the lessons to go from going from 10 to 20 kids, whether or not, where they're going to put in science and social science. And what we're asking them to do is figure that all out on Monday, is really what we're asking them to do. Because from Tuesday through Friday, their day is full with 6 hours of instruction, because we're still on the hybrid. So I personally can't answer what an individual teacher would need to do, but I don't think that it's a bad, I don't think the one day is going to make or break anything. I think it's something that we can do to help alleviate, because we all know change causes stress. So I think it can help alleviate that with the teachers that really think they need that Monday to get it done.
But I think it causes parent stress, in all honesty. And I know we're not going on what parents have and kids stress, because if we're starting this new program, we're going back to school full time. We need to start it on Monday. It's after spring break. This is what we're doing. We're starting it on Monday. We're going. All of our teachers are professionals. We don't have new teachers. We have veteran teachers who are amazing teachers that are awesome. They already have lesson plans that they have for the year for their half a class. Yes, they're going to have to add social science and science in there. But I'm sure they have previous lessons from years before of how they did that. I just think pushing it off takes away from that, bam, we're starting. That's my personal thought. Well,
I know there's several classes that are doing science and social science and social science already.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we've asked our teachers to do a lot to this point, and I think one day is not going to make a whole lot of difference.
And my simple response to the BAM, let's start, is it's a random day. I mean, we're just picking it, right? And the Monday, the parents, I get that. The parents are already ready for that Monday. They already know it's distance learning, because there's no decision been made yet. So what the start date is, we start the first day of school in a regular school year on a Wednesday. or Thursday.
And parents hate that because they don't really do much that first week except for talk that first week, and it kind of throws, you know, they don't really start doing school stuff till that following Monday.
You get orientation out of the way, and you get the familiarization of a new classroom and a new teacher and school for some.
Absolutely, if we're starting the school year. Mm-hmm. However, the school year is already going. They're going to continue with English and math of where they are because they've been teaching the same classes morning and night. Now they just have to do it one time.
But on a normal, typical year, and this isn't it, we know.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we have the Monday after the Easter break off anyway. That's usually not a day we come back. When we come back after our break, we always have that Monday, whether it's the Monday after the Sunday of Easter or the week after, because this year it's the whole week after, but we always have that Monday off anyway. So one more Monday.
We actually had it scheduled until we changed.
Exactly, until we ended up starting later.
Again, there's a whole lot of things that have come in this 2 days, and that's just one of them. I don't know if there's anybody there's nobody that has said anything about that yet. So I'm going to let you guys continue to ask questions, and then I can go to the chat and then go from there. So remember, I'm just making a recommendation. You guys can decide whether you want it Monday or Tuesday.
I'm good with it either way, but I don't see a problem with it starting on Tuesday and having this learning
so either. How does that work if we disagree with the start date with when we get, you know what I'm saying? To approve this.
It's a majority vote, 3-2.
I understand that, but if we want to open school full time, but we're not,
Well, the first part, I guess there's two questions here. Well, there's probably multiple questions, but one of the questions is, does the board want to entertain bringing kids back full time? That's question number one.
Absolutely.
Second question is, what day would we do that?
Right? Well, let's see what people have to say. So.
So I'm going to start at the top. Will tables be sanitized between kids swapping out to eat? They would not be eating at other kids' tables. The child's desk is the child's desk. They will be cleaned every day, but they don't flop to eat. So I think that's a null and void. Is the plan snack or lunch? The plan is snack. They'll get a lunch at 1:20 to take home with them. So they'll get breakfast at 7:50 to 8:00. They'll get a snack, which will be.
Can we say heavy snack, maybe?
Sure.
On our
substantial snack
with protein, so right. Parents know it's not going to be what they've been getting, the graham crackers in their lunches, because that's what I assumed when I called you to ask you what they were going to eat, and you told me the Lunchables. I was very happy that they were going to get those because they're very good quality. Because I was worried about the substantialness of, tidying them over. So I think we need to maybe change that in our schedule.
Yeah, we can change it to say a substantial snack. The other piece of it is, Mr. Buck, is that you can certainly send a sandwich or something with your child if your child requires more food than others. If it's not enough of what we're providing, you are more than welcome to send something else with your child. Will there be accommodations for students with severe food allergies in the classroom? So if we have a child with severe food allergies that isn't allowed to go in the multi-purpose room, then we will have to make accommodations. If they have allergies to food, they had to have turned in a doctor's note, and our cafeteria managers would know what that is, and yes, they would accommodate that accordingly. Breakfast and snack, lunch to go. Okay, thank you, Stephanie. You were answering, I think, that question above. We do understand how difficult scheduling is. We have been doing it for over a year with our jobs and multiple kids, schools changing things on us. Let's just remember, the schools are trying to adapt to the rules that are thrown at us. We are not just haphazardly moving kids around and doing things willy-nilly. Right? We were not allowed to come back in August. We got the waiver and the green light because we moved to red in October. So we brought all of our kids back. Then we were told by the health department, shut them down, which we did for a little bit, but then we brought our TK through five back while our 6 through 8 stayed on distance learning. Then we brought them all back. We have not changed the schedule willy-nilly. We've changed the schedule based on what we were told to do under this crazy year that we've been. So we're not, this schedule change, I will tell you flat out, just about every school and school district in Yuba and Sutter County will be back full-time TK through 5 before the end of the school year. Those of you that watch the news and pay attention to this kind of stuff, you know that both the federal government and the state government are doing everything they can to push children back into the classroom, because they have found out over this year that the infection rate in a school is limited, especially with the young kids. I came in late. Is there a location to find the full proposed plan online? There is not currently, because it is proposed to the board. If the board approves it, I can certainly put up what the schedules will look like and my entire presentation. I have no problem with that. As an employee and a parent, this has been a rough year. I am lucky enough to work for a school district, and continuous changes of the schedule has posed some serious challenges. Again, I'm sorry, but I don't know what the continuous changes are. We've had some changes that we're forced to do. I can't imagine what other families are doing without flexibility of working for school. My child, like others, has suffered with some anxiety due to continued changes in my schedule. My husband and I have to take off multiple days to accommodate the system decision tree guidelines. Symptom decision tree guidelines, got it. Thus, leaving him out of paid leave. I can imagine there are lots of other families in the same situation. I'm fortunate enough to have a child care through my parents, but extremely challenging. At this point, it would be our preference to get through the school year with the least amount of disruption, with only nine weeks left of instruction. Why is there a push to change the schedule for the remainder of the school year? If we are not returning to a normal full day schedule, let's stay the course for the year. Okay, we would be returning to a full day of instruction, just not the lunch period. You have teachers teaching combo classes. This is a huge adjustment. Yep, that is correct. We do have teachers teaching combo classes. And the one thing that the AMPM has been nice for combo classes is they've been able to do their second grade at AM and their third grade at PM, and they would have to come back to all of them in the classroom. We have combo classes every year. That's been one of the positive takeaways from an AMPM is splitting the class by grade level. It is only 1 hour from the normal schedule time. The schedule will change things for lots of parents, but gives our kids more time for learning. Tuesday, teachers need time to prepare. I know for K, we have a lot to do to get ready. I have furniture to move back in my room, seating changed to 3 feet at the carpet, reading groups to be reassigned, tables, seats to be reassigned, etc. The list is long. So I think these are some questions, answer to the question that Robin posed. Start Tuesday. Thank you from Mr. Bug. Working parents are already prepared for Monday childcare. Starting Tuesday makes sense. Lisa, yes, I can't even use what I used to do because the schedule is so different, including not having things like music, library visits, computer lab, etc. We are making a huge change, just like we did when we went from distance to in person. Having that Monday would be a huge help. So, well, a longer school day, but still no recess or other snack break. No, Michelle, there's, can you scroll up, Chad, to, I don't know what school Michelle goes to, but let's put it at Wheatland Hills or Lone Trees. Scroll this presentation up. Not the chat.
You want it down, go.
I want it to go to one of the schedules so okay. people can see what it looks like. Because I think that is a misunderstanding that keep going, it's almost towards the very bottom.
This one here?
Well, that's a Bear River 4-5, so you can see there is a snack and a mass break. So breakfast in the morning, snack and mass break between 10:10 and 10:30 for one group and 10:30 to 10:50. Scroll to the next one. Keep going. Lone Tree, you can see there's multiple mass and snack breaks built in because they have multiple playgrounds. And then go up to Wheatland L, please, and just leave it on that one for now. And then here there's three breaks. Well, there's multiple breaks. One for first grade, one for second grade, one for third grade, and then three to split the kindergartens because the kindergarten playground is small. Now I need you to scroll the chat back down. Oh, there it is. So that's the answer to Michelle's question about longer school day, but still no recess other than snack break. That snack break, mass break is also outside time. Recess. And that's just thanking somebody. For kids who have experienced a lot of anxiety this year, a Monday class Zoom with new procedures and changes in the routine may help to transition to a longer day for many, especially the kindergartners. It would be wonderful if the kids go back to normal. The science shows studies are at very low risk of having serious symptoms of COVID. The masks do more damage to their health as well.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we have to follow what we're given. And masks are a mandate. They are not a recommendation. All kids on campus as much as possible, please. Kids get so much more than academics from being at school. Very true. An idea when after school would restart and how to do it safely. Currently, after school cannot be done because it would not be a stable cohort. So we would have to have 6 feet distance between all children. And we don't have A, the staff, and B, the facility to be able to keep them 6 feet apart. But we continue to look at it, but most likely the answer to the question is after school program would probably not restart until the fall. It was not my idea to start on Tuesday, but I do believe that starting on Tuesday would allow teachers the opportunity to prepare the student for what their first day will look like. We can go over procedures with them. They would cover eating in the classroom, pick where to pick up breakfast and snacks, the last minute reminders, like bring backpacks, computers. Thank you for considering this. Remember, everyone was just off spring break and a Monday to meet on Zoom to discuss changes and expectations would be helpful. Cannot see the notes you are reading. Can you have this visible on Zoom? It is, as far as I know. The notes that I'm reading on chat, you have to open your chat to be able to see them. Hopefully you're able to see the presentation that I did. And I should have asked that originally. Do you have this up? Yeah. So Ron has it up. So if you open, Charlene, if you open your chat, you should be able to see what I'm reading. Stephanie just told me that. So thank you, Stephanie. I'm excited to get kids back on campus, but I do agree that starting Tuesday would be better. CDC has changed their guidelines to 3 feet apart. Yes, in stable cohorts, that's correct. Another teacher, I agree Tuesday sounds best. I'm already planning on coming in during spring break so I could be prepared, having that Monday to alleviate my need to go in during spring break. I agree Tuesday would start would be helpful. Another one that says CDC has released studies that show the harmful effects of masks. 20 other states have already stopped all the lockdowns and mandates. That is a fantastic thing to say. We can't do it. Okay? California has to take it out. Otherwise, we can't open if we don't have kids wear masks. And everybody has a different belief on whether masks are good or not good, but we don't have a choice. So at this point, they have to wear a mask. Any more? Is that it, Chad?
That's it. Sure. Yep.
I'm going to give it a few more minutes if there's any other classes or if anybody wants to see anything else on the presentation. I'm happy to have Chad scroll that. Otherwise, I'll throw it back to the board at some point here. I will just say, we all understand that this does not work for everybody. We have the same issue with regular schools in here. We have people that it doesn't work for. We're doing what we can do to get our students back in school as best we can do it, keeping it safe, following the guidelines, and trying to get some normalcy back to our students and back to our staff and back to everybody. If we don't start moving in the direction of getting back to what people want to refer to as a regular day, then we're not doing justice to our students. I don't know that any argument that's been put forward has said, you know, our kids are flourishing with 3 hours of instruction. This decision is based on what is best for students, understanding that that will impact adults. But we have to, in my opinion, we have to make the decision that is best for our students. And we understand that, I received an email earlier that said, you know, the board's disregarding. No, the board's not disregarding. The board's listening to all of what's got brought forward. But as you can see through what I've read here, we have varied, varied desires. Some that don't want to change anything and some that want to go all the way back full time. Some that want sixth or eighth grade to go to high school schedule. Some that want sixth grade to stay the same. Sixth or eighth. Some that want sixth or eighth to go to full day. I don't know how you would expect anybody to be able to say, well, I listened to all of you and I made a decision. Well, they have to do what's in their heart that's best for kids. And I'm just stepping that up for those of you that are being critical of the decision makers.
Well, and I'd just like to apologize that to Lone Tree and to Bear River students that Wheatland L's schedule went out ahead of time because a lot of these parents haven't seen their schedules. So
Angela said, to answer your question from earlier, we have quarantined students in the TK through 5 level. So I think somebody in here
that
asked
me.
So yes, that answer is yes. Mrs. Garcia is a wonderful kindergarten teacher. We agree. Mr. Merchant's a great third grade teacher. We agree. And your kids are excited to be back in class. Thank you. We all want the kids back in class, but with masks, little kids have a hard time with that all day. 3 hours has been long enough. I know I'm not on the board, but my vote would be to keep the schedule as is for the remainder of the year and hope for a better situation in 21-22.
Craig, can I interject there?
Yes.
I agree. Stephanie, I am totally not a mask wearer, and that's my personal preference. But let me tell you that there are teachers that it's not going to just be that snack break. There's teachers that take their kids out for their reading time and they do it outside so the kids can take masks off. They take their kids out to do math facts and flashcards so that they have a mask break. They do educational things outside to make sure those kids are getting a mask break. So I would just And I agree with you that it's a long time for kids to have masks on, but know that our teachers are aware of that. And I've seen several, many after TK 5 level take their kids out and do educational things so that they can spread out and take those masks off. So it's not going to just be that 20 minute period there for that break. I believe teachers are thinking outside the box and doing what they can, especially in the nice weather, you know.
Okay, so will this start after spring break? Yes, if the board approves it, it would start either on the Monday or the Tuesday, depending on what the board decides here in a few minutes. Are you able to display the proposed laundry? Yep, I think Chad put it up there. I'm sorry that it's bigger than the screen. It may not be on your computer, but on our screen it's larger. But you can kind of see, he's got it scrolled, so the 7:30 to 1:20 is in there. What happens when our county and school COVID cases rise? Okay, I answered that question at the beginning, but maybe Melanie, you weren't on. We do not have to go back. If we rise, based on the current guidance, once we're in with whatever schedule we're in, we can do better, but we can't do worse. So we do not have to go backwards. So assuming that the board approves or doesn't approve, if they approve it, we're on that schedule till the end of the year, unless we can do something better, which I don't think is going to change. Thank you to each of you and all of our teachers. We are so grateful for you keeping our kids safe while meeting their academic and social needs. We see your efforts and appreciate you. Thank you very much, Connie. The more this continues, I think you'll see more and more independent study and homeschool options for families. Well, we don't have a lot of options. We have some. And so I don't know what the more this continues means, but we have a home-based instructional program, which has a limited number of spots. Not all the spots are taken. So there are a few spots available. If somebody chooses to go that route, then they would need to reach out to their school site and let them know. We are ready to be back full time. Thank you for all you're doing to get our children in school. Thank you, Nikki. I appreciate your feedback on the mask breaks. I know our teachers are doing all they can for students. Can we show the Bear River schedule again, please? And this is the fourth and fifth grade. The sixth through eighth grade would not change from what they're currently on under the recommendation. So there, it's up there for you now. Would we be able to implement a second mask snack break? If we did that, we could. You could do it in a couple of different ways. One is you can extend the day a little bit longer and add in another, let's say you went to 1:30 and you added in an afternoon 10 minute break. You could do that. But we can't go too far because then we run into a transportation issue. Or you take the time away from instruction. And I don't know that we have to have a stipulated time in the afternoon that they would have a mask / snack break, because I do believe that, as Mickey explained, the teachers are gonna take them out when they need to, they're gonna feed them a snack when they need to, and so that can all happen at the same time that they're in the classroom. As you mentioned, you are abiding state guidelines. Each time you have made a recommendation to change the kids' schedule, the state has changed it. You're absolutely right, Stephanie. We react to what we are given, right? And we have always, always looked for an opportunity to bring our students back to as close as a normal school year as we can. This is the first opportunity we have had to do that, been able to offer a schedule that would work only because they dropped it from 6 feet to 3 feet. Otherwise, we would not be able to be even talking about this because we couldn't fit them. My eldest seems to be doing better in a smaller class. I'm concerned his needs being met, him falling behind in a larger class. Again, I think that is one of another one of the nice things about doing an AM/PM is that the teachers, it depends on their class, but they could have anywhere from 8 to 16 kids maybe in their classroom. Probably not that many, maybe 14, 15. So there is a little more ability for the teacher to concentrate on those students that are, you know, having difficulties. They know who they are now, so I don't think they're going to slip through the cracks once we come back to a larger number because the teachers know. Yes, Robin.
Michelle, on that, I agree. My son has thrived this year. First time honor roll student, and he has never been an honor roll student. And I agree, the smaller class sizes has helped. But by increasing his instructional hours from 13 to 25 a week, he'll actually be getting more out of his education, and he needs it. I work full time. Unfortunately, my son is home. He spends more time on Xbox than he does in his education right now. And he needs more out of his education. We can do better for our kids.
So, and to add to that, Michelle, I think that what Robin just said, and I may have passed by this today, I said it at the last, on Tuesday, our students in TK through fifth grade have received 13 hours a week of instruction. With this new proposal, they'll be at 25. Our sixth through eighth grade have received 25 hours a week of instruction and will continue to receive 25 hours. So this will bolster the amount of education the students will get in TK through five. And thank you, Robin, for jogging my memory on that one. If we give the kids an extra chance to eat, my concern is if a child says their stomach hurts and then being sent home as a symptom of COVID. Okay, so let me just say that, and Angela is on here and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't just haphazardly send a kid home that has a stomach ache. The health aides and the nurse ask all kinds of questions to find out what the stomach ache could be tied to. If it's determined that the stomach ache is a flu-like symptom, then yes, they will be sent home. If they're fine, 24 hours later, they can come back. They're not quarantined because it's not a significant symptom. It's a small, it's a low symptom.
Can you tell them who Angela is? Because some of them may think it's Mrs. Gowker. And
Angela Waltz is our school nurse, and she answers questions through email, phone calls, whatever. But we, again, we're not making these rules, right? We did not make the rules on what determines a child going home based on a symptom that they have. We are required to follow them. It may not be in the interest of the student with the stomach ache, but it is in the interest of the other students if that stomach ache turned into COVID. Not just us, does everybody overreact to these symptoms? Probably. But again, we have been implementing that symptom chart since this began, and we have no cases of kids getting COVID at school. That has to say something. It has to say that we're doing it right. Most of you don't know, we invested $235,000 into ventilation HVAC systems to stop COVID from spreading through our ventilation system. We invested $25,000 in foggers and spray to clean our classrooms. We have invested in hand sanitizer, and we have masks for kids that don't have them. We have done everything we can, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, and didn't you say that it would be likely that classrooms would have, like, the waffle grams and such there if
Absolutely.
A child needed an extra snack?
We can put whatever somebody needs in the classroom. I mean, I can't buy Flaming Hot Cheetos, that one, nutrition, right? But If we need to add stacks so that they have a back stock, teacher just has to ask. Ask the principal. Principal will get it from nutrition, and we'll order it. If we don't have it that day, we'll get it the next week.
I think that was where she was headed, was gotcha. To make sure that there was extra snacks available if needed.
Got it. Yes, Jamie says we will be well stocked.
Thank you, Jamie.
What else do we have? Last time I turned my back, 5 went up there, so I'm going to give it a couple more minutes, and then I'm throwing it back to the board at that point for any other questions they may have. Okay, I see nothing coming. So you saw my recommendation. Can you put it back up there, Chad? You're going to have to scroll almost. So I just got one more. I really hope the board considers the kids who don't have parents who attend these meetings, the ones who find that school is their safe place. We have a lot of kids that their meals come from school. Their ability to be safe is at school. And so, yeah, that's a big issue. Mental health of our adolescents is at an all-time problematic stage, and it's all tied to this pandemic. So as much as we can get kids back to some normalcy, that's where we're at. So we put up the recommendation again. It's exactly the recommendation I made on Tuesday, except for the change from a Monday start date to a Tuesday start date. I'm throwing it back to the board. I'm happy to answer any more questions.
Any more questions from the public? If so, you got a couple minutes. Any questions from the board currently on any of the comments or recommendation that Superintendent Gensler has made?
Other than that, you've done a great job of presenting the information.
Absolutely.
Thank you. My only question is, has Lone Tree TK5 and Leavenell TK5 pretty much been on the same schedule and the same minutes?
Yes.
Forever? I mean, as long as...
Since October. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about pre-COVID.
Oh, pre-COVID, yes. Our TK through 3 has the same number of minutes, whether they're at Leavenell or... Lone Tree, and our 4 or 5 has the same at Bear River and Lone Tree.
Okay.
Their start and end date time might be different.
Right.
But their day is the same.
The minutes.
Okay. Well, with no further questions from the public and no further questions from the board, I will entertain a motion to approve Superintendent Gensler's recommendation to return to school full educational minutes with, you know, the different schedule times at this point.
So moved.
Ish Medina is our first. Do I have a second?
Second
by Regine Waltz. And I think this should be a roll call vote on this one. So, board member Eaton?
Aye.
Board member Waltz?
Aye.
Board member Medina?
Aye.
Board member Wachtenoff?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. We will start school on April 13th with the following schedule. I'm sure that you'll be hearing from your principals, getting information, hearing from the teachers if your parents, and you'll have that Monday to get all the information on Zoom about how everything's gonna work. So we're super excited to get the kids back in the door. Very excited, I think, getting them all their educational minutes. I can't wait till we have a meeting where we are approving the 6th through 8th grades to walk through the door. And thank goodness they're getting all their educational minutes, but that they can all walk through the doors together, so.
I want to add 2 things. One, I have something coming up here that says, I'm sorry, you'll be covering Wheatland High School. I don't know what that means.
So will you be covering?
Will you be, I'm sorry. I guess I should not be dyslexic, huh? Will you be covering, Wheatland High School, Stephanie just answered it. The high school is a totally different district. They have their own protocols. They have already put out that they are not changing from their current 2-day-a-week schedule for the remainder of the year, except for Wednesdays are open for kids to come in with no instruction, but the place to Zoom if they, or get on their Google Docs, et cetera. That's my understanding, but you would have to check with the high school, repo 69. So thank you, Stephanie, for answering that, and sorry about the misread. The other thing I think that is important to know about the guidance for sixth through eighth grade, really eighth grade, is at this point, it is going to allow us to have a smaller promotion ceremony. So Mrs. Galker is currently working on that. It's not going to be everybody come, sit in the audience, and kids give speeches and all that. But there will be an opportunity, probably broken into an AM and PM, but we're still working out the details, where the eighth grade students will be able to walk across the bridge, get their diploma, and then all of the speeches and all of the awards will be on the website where anybody can see it. There will be limited numbers of tickets. You will have to sit with your family. Right now, the rules say nobody from out of state can come to graduation ceremonies. We're not going to be there checking people's IDs, but you know, we do need to say that nobody from out of state is able to come. The number of tickets, we'll get back to you on that. Still in the planning stages, and things may change between now and June, but I think it's an exciting thing that it's even a possibility this year.
Will George be able to live stream it so people can watch that can't come and watch from home?
I would think yes, Sherry. Angela's saying yes.
Yes. George is planning to live stream it. We'll have it on the website. We'll have the video link up that'll have like a slideshow of all the eighth graders that have the speeches and the awards. And then we'll be doing a brief modified kind of graduation ceremony so the kids can at least do the procession in, get their diplomas, and do the procession out.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
I have a clarification.
Yes.
On our vote, was that a unanimous vote?
It was.
Okay.
I mean, the typically in the Brown Act, the president doesn't vote unless it's a tie.
Correct.
So it's unanimous unless she chose to vote against it.
Okay, thank you for
clarifying
that.
Yes. All right, well, that's all I have.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us today. We're gonna close and go into closed session. Thank you.